I just would like to suggest that in order for this wonderful kingdom to come, the rapture has to take place, and thus we look for both. But really the believer's portion should be the desire of Paul. That when the brother was bringing the thought of Timothy, not only for me, but for all those that love his appearing. We love the rapture, there's no question about it. You know, we love to be taken from the scene to be with him. But mostly it's a process for the saints of God. But the believer, in order, Paul's desire was always that world to come, that kingdom to come. Because he wants to witness that that one that has been rejected, despised, and given a cross here in this world, that in that coming scene, he's going to be honored by all. That everyone, no one is going to lift, as it were, if we can use the words of Joseph, the foot without the permission of the Lord Jesus. So we love the appearing because we have every desire to see that the Lord Jesus is magnified and that everyone is rightfully bowing the knee to him and recognizing his rights as Lord. The thought behind it is thy kingdom come, because as we all understand that if we took that prayer in the setting that the Lord is giving it to us, we will understand that its interpretation will be for those that are going through the tribulation, looking forward for that kingdom to come. But what does it mean for me now, for us, the Christian company, to pray or to enjoy the prayer that the Lord Jesus is teaching? First, we have understood that it is the person, the Father. And the setting of it is the hallowed be thy name. And I like to bring the application. What does it mean for me to say, thy kingdom come? The desire of the believer, because kingdom also speaks about rights. It speaks about rights. That when I'm uttering or entering into this prayer in a Christian environment, if you will, then the desire of the believer as we are praying this, that the rights of God are being maintained in my life and your life. This is the thought of thy kingdom come. Yes, the Lord Jesus, when he was here, says the kingdom of God is here. Why? Because he was here. And everything that we need to see and know about the kingdom was in Christ Jesus. But how wonderful also to take what the kingdom speaks of, that the desire of our earnest prayer is that the rights of God, the rights of the Lord Jesus, might be maintained in the saints of God. And that's in relationship to the Father's kingdom. That expression of the Father's kingdom, if I'm not mistaken, occurred a couple of times. But if you want to read my Father's kingdom, you would read it in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. He, the Lord Jesus, brings the thought, my Father's kingdom. Because we're still talking about our Father. Thy kingdom come. And how wonderful, dear saints of God, that we will have a desire to maintain the rights of God in our own lives.
And I think that's important, that in this portion, it is not really the kingdom of God. It is not really the kingdom of his Son, or the kingdom of the Son of his love, or the kingdom of heaven. It's really the kingdom of the Father. And that's one thing sometimes we lose sight of, because the scripture have many verses about the other aspect of the kingdom. But the verse that you mentioned in Matthew 26 might give us an idea of what really is a characteristic of that kingdom of the Father. I would not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you anew in the kingdom of my Father. What characterizes the kingdom of the Father, beside all of the things that was mentioned, it is a sphere of joy. It's a joy for the Father, and it is a joy for the Son, and it's a joy for the believer, because he will drink it anew with us in that kingdom. And the believer who is going through these, because you mentioned it is really the remnant who are praying that, in this fiery tribulation, they are looking for the time of joy, the satisfaction for the heart of the Father, the satisfaction for their own heart, and the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus. So it is the kingdom of the Father, though he is Father, but he has right as a king. And with that, there is the aspect of joy that connected with it.
But can we, before we go any further, when you read this and you realize that when we go to pray, that we need to be focusing on God's interests and God's authority and so on, I got to be in the right condition. I need to be in the right condition of soul to be like this. And I think this is a challenge for all of us. That, you know, we haven't gotten to our needs yet. So most of us, to be honest with you, when we think about praying, we think about, Lord, I need my shopping list. I need this, 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 and this. But we have sort of bypassed. We're not in that condition to really give God and be looking for what really is of God's priorities above my own. And this is a challenge for me. That, you know, that as I pray, this is how we are supposed to pray. I mean, in private, and I'm not sure even in public.
That thought of the prayer you mentioned, Brother Sam, didn't change. If you read the prayer of the Apostle Paul, blessed be, you know, it is always when we are in the right condition of things. And we're not thinking about ourselves being the central figure of our prayer. The soul that is yearning for God always will bring to that highlight of a prayer. That first it's the blessed God, the greatness of God. And even when the Apostle Paul was uttering prayers, like for example Ephesians 1:3, then from there he doesn't bring the physical need right away. He doesn't bring physical needs. He just brings everything that has to be to do with the spiritual welfare of the saints of God. And yet we read in the scriptures there is a prayer for needs. Mm-hmm. You know, Acts chapter 12, there was a prayer for the Apostle Peter, you know, being in jail and so forth. There are prayers for needs we're not taking away. Mm-hmm. But how wonderful to give God this for.
Would you say, Emil, that Psalm 16:11 describes the Father's kingdom? In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11.
Excuse me. In connection to the same thought, during the time of kings, in the Old Testament, as you see, king had the authority. And those godly kings who were always for God, when any evil things raised up their ugly head, they executed or they judged. So, in coming day, as Brother Jonah's telling, in tribulation after tribulation, during tribulation time, when after the end of tribulation, we see when Lord Jesus would take his kingdom, that is millennial, but a little before that, he would start taking that. So in great authority and power, he would start judging. But during the millennium time, I think Lord Jesus, during his time when he would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whatsoever evil things, the ugly head of evil things would raise up, I think he would judge. And at present time, in this dispensation of grace and spirit, in our life, in our believer's life, whatsoever work of this flesh would come up, I think when we really pray to Lord Jesus, let thy kingdom come. I think through the help of the Spirit, as it is mentioned in Colossians chapter 3, mortify the members of your body. So anything comes, I think it's sort of necessity for us to judge. Well, I am correct there. Just brethren are free to correct.